Access number 29049, Mr. Frank Tolley, Reel 3. Now, you were telling me about the infantry training you got at Martlesham Heath with the 735 Squadron RAF Regiment, later 2735 Squadron. But at your time, it was 735. Now, tell me what other infantry training. I mean, did you do much weapons training?
Not at that time. No more than that at all. I say, it was the blind leading the blind. Most of the NCOs were the older ones of us that had been in the ground defence. And we went on a course from Martlesham Heath to Caterham, Caterham Barracks, to the guards. And recruits that had been there for 3 weeks, when we saw them on the square, by jingo, just in 3 weeks, and we've been doing it for about 3 years, nowhere near like them at all. I'm not decrying the RAF regiment now, because I mean the way they are now, by jingo.
Tell us about the Caterham course. What was it like when you went?
Course. We did a lot of foot slogging and night work, and we didn't do anything. We washed and shaved in vats, sleeping out in the open, you see, and just washing and shaving where you could, roughing it, in other words, that lasted for about a week. Went back to Martlesham Heath. We did a lot of battling with the Home Guard and
tactical training. Tell us about that tactical training.
Yes, we did that night time and day time. And we had.
What was it like? What were the exercises like? What kind of thing were you doing?
Well, I remember on one occasion we were approaching a building, and the army were upstairs there firing down at us, and they threw firetending down, an explosive one, you know, about this long, a banger.
Thunder flash,
that's so, yes. And it fell near me. I didn't have the presence of mind to pick it up and throw it back. We just retreated, and it went off, and the umpires around said, "You are all dead." So that finished us. And I would have had time to beat up and throw it, but you know, I just hadn't got there. I should have done that. I'd been accepted for air crew then, and couldn't think to do a thing like that. But I don't know.
Anything else about the tactical exercise?
Another occasion when I was the only one that hadn't been found, you know, in hiding, they were searching for me. I covered up my tracks as I'd hidden, one fellow came down, and he's quite near to me, this distance away from
about
me.
A yard.
Yes. And as he went, I was just about to cover up again, and somebody else was coming, and they saw this track that this other chap had made it, and they thought, I bet he's in here. and that's how they found me. I didn't have a chance to cover up again. But I thought that was quite good, actually, yes.
Anything happened while you were at Martlesham Heath? Any German raids?
No. Oh, the only thing that happened there, I was on duty in the officers' mess one night, and with some others, and an American crew had to land, and they were in the mess too, and I don't know why they had too much to drink, and one of these Americans, he comes into the kitchen and takes off the table a tin, a metal tray, and threw it on the floor. And he said to one of the fellows with me, "Pick that up." And I said, "Leave it. You didn't throw it down." And he comes for me, so I half Nelsoned him and took him out and left him in the among the other officers. The only time, you know, to do that and get away with it. But they saw what had happened, and the skipper of that crew, he came in and he apologised. He said, "Sadly, he's had a little too much to drink. He's not like this usually." And but it was the talk of talk of the regiment.
And he was an officer.
He was an officer. American, yes, yes, yes. Mm.
Anything else? No German air raid.
But we did fight in the woods at Marsham Heath. A skeleton of a Jerry, he'd landed by parachute in a tree and couldn't get out, and it was very wooded. He was taken down, he got his identification and that, and I think this was sent on to Red Cross, but we gave him a ceremonial burial, and we fired a salute over his coffin. But those were the only two things I can think of.
And nothing else at Marsham. So we're getting up into 1943 now.
Yes, I'm called up then to St John's Wood.
Now what happened? That's the aircrew reception centre.
Aircrew reception centre, yes. Near the zoo.
Now what happened? That's Lords as well, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, around there, yes. Yeah.
Now, what happened? What happened at the aircrew reception centre? Do you know when this is, by the way?
No, it won't be in there. It will not be in there at all. But that would be in
1943, though?
Yes. I think, I'm coming sure, it might have been August 43.
And what happened at the at St John's Wood?
At St John's Wood, we attended several lectures, which I can't remember what they were. Now, and we had more medics and night vision tests. I failed my night vision test first time.
Why do you think?
Laser sight. This is what the medic said. He said, "Don't worry. He said, tonight, go out and look into the sky and search for stars. There's some there that you will see by staring, but you won't normally see." And so I did this. I wasn't the only one that failed. We had the test the next day, retested the next day. I think that there were 25 views, and I got 23 out of 25. So, you know, you got it quite well. It's as he said, just laser sight, not using your sight properly.
Anything else happening there? Were you given a new uniform?
No. Oh, I got a new overcoat because my other one was badly worn.
What happened? I thought you were in khaki.
Oh, no. No, we had a blue uniform as well for going out.
Anything else happened at Lord's?
At Lord's. Yes, I think it was at the same time when the Ripper was there.
What some Ripper?
Oh, you didn't know about that. Some air crew.
Well, tell us the story, because people don't know, you see.
No, well, it's fate to me now. But there was Debbie like myself accepted as air crew. I don't know whether he'd just come in or whether he was like me, remustered. And he'd been having it off with the prostitutes and knocking them off, you see.
Killing them?
Yeah. And he was found out by, he'd left something with his number and rank on. Number like a name or something like that, and that's how they got him.
And did you know him?
No.
Anything else about St. John's Wood or Lord's?
I know there's a lot of inoculations and vaccinations.
Now,
there.
How did that affect you? Because
I could take him, no trouble. But it amazed me. Some of the big burly buds passing out, you know, just keeling over. I don't know. It's just a thought of it, I suppose. I don't know. It's amazing how it.
Did you have any after effects? You know, just from the
Oh, no, only in the RAF regiment at Marlesham Heath. Had some injections just about at Christmas time. And it made you so low and depressed, and it made you want to cry. You know, so never had an experience before or since through those.
Now, where did you go next then? Unless there's anything else.
Went from there to Scarborough, to number 17 ITW. Yeah.
Initial training week.
Yes. That was at
Scarborough, you said?
Yeah, the Scarborough. I'm trying to think of the St. Thomas School, I think.
Boarding school. Still August or September?
Yes. Still be August, I think. Something like that.
Now, what was the setup at number 17
ITW? 17 ITW. Bags of theory.
What kind
of theory? You went back to school. You did meteorology. You did theory of flight, you did Browning gun, taking the pieces and putting them back together. No fire, no shooting, anything like that. And you did Aldous lamp, up to 6 words a minute. And Morse code up to 6 words a minute.
And how did you do with that?
Oh, quite easy, because I learned that. I knew that would be coming. I learned that when I was in the RAF regiment, because I didn't want to fail on anything. I thought the more I knew. I did before then. I went to school in my own time to learn about you know, where you use wind speed and direction, air speed and direction to get a drift, to know which course to set to get to a certain place.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name of it now. Oh, dear me. My head, I'm
all right.
I'm getting old.
Doing fine. So you'd done Morse code and this navigational training before?
Not navigational training as such, just
drift.
Yes, doing it on topographical maps. Yes, I forget. There's a special name for it. I forget what it is now.
I can't think of it. Don't worry. What else were you doing while you were at Scarborough? Where were you living? Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yes, at school. At St Thomas School. It was a boarding school. A boarding school.
What were the billets like? They
were dormitories. You know, you got about eight in a room, eight beds in a room, and the restaurant, the mess was quite tidy. It was quite clean. And the food was very good. Some talent was used on the walls. They did friezes, painting of aircraft and views and whatever. Yes.
Now, do you do any?
And we did a lot of cross country running.
Tell me about that.
Yes, I enjoyed that. I ran with Tipton Harriers on occasions after the war. I like that, but. I had no.
How far would they go? Harriers. I mean,
I think about seven. When it was the most that ever did.
And what about aircraft recognition? Did you do any of that?
Oh yeah, yes.
Tell me about that, because they do a lot of that at Scarborough.
Yes. But we did a lot of aircraft recognition in the regiment. I forgot to mention that.
Well, tell me about aircraft recognition generally. Yes. I mean, what's the principle of it?
Well, you would be advised of the characteristics of various aircraft, and these would be pointed out to you on the screen and whatnot. Then you would, for aircraft recognition, they would flash onto the screen an aircraft, and you wrote that down, and. This came in all the way through your aircrew training, even ship recognition too. That came in during aircrew training. Yes.
Anything else you were doing there? Were you being assessed? Because you were there as aircrew,
weren't assessed there. That comes later. But
were you hoping to be a pilot then?
Yes, I wanted to be a pilot. Yes, but we were.
What happened?
In the squadron, I should have a picture of it here.
Remember, they can't see it. So.
Of 17 ITW, number four squadron. Of which I was a member, and I was one of the I was one of the NCOs. It's not to be wondered when quite a number had come.
When had you been promoted? When had you been promoted?
Only a cadet NCO. Some had red ribbons. Cords. Some had blue cords, and some had white cords. I had a white cord.
What does that mean?
Corporal, I think. Corporal sergeant.
Did that make any difference to you being a corporal? Cadet.
Well, I suppose on your CV, I suppose it did. I don't know, I suppose because I could shout the loudest or something like that. I had done a bit of drill instructing, as I told you before, and I was able to do that. I'd say some of the aircrew come straight in to St John's Wood from Civil Street. We were remustered.
Now, anything else about your training there or life there, things that happened? You weren't there that long, were you?
6 weeks.
So just to about September.
Yes, whilst I was there, Anthony Eden's son, he was at the Grand Hotel. That was the other end of Scarborough. Later passed out as a sergeant navigator, and he got the chop over in the Far East.
Did you know him?
No, I didn't know him. No, I didn't meet him at all.
So anything else back there? No assessment there then?
Well, it may have been. I don't know.
Not that you know.
No.
So what's the next stage after this 6 weeks?
From there, you went to grading school. I went to Longtown, Carlisle.
To where,
Carlisle? Longtown, Carlisle.
Longtown.
Longtown, Longtown, which is now an industrial estate. Longtown, Carlisle.
And what happened there?
Well, you did your 12 hours in Tiger Moss. And it took me...
No, so what was this unit called? I mean, was it just a grading unit?
Yes. Because I hadn't got a logbook then. Didn't get a logbook then.
So what exactly happened? You got there a long time.
Yes. Did... You did 12 hours in Tiger Moss.
And what was that like? How did they start you?
By taxiing... taxiing round to the end of the runway, or the end of takeoff, and you'd be sitting in the front, and the instructor would be sitting in the back. I think that was it. He sat in the back, and he had the controls. He took off, and he landed, and he showed you different things to do, or told you. But
now, what did you think of that? I mean, you wanted to fly.
I wanted to fly, yes, but it was to be a bit hard for me, a bit much for me. And to make matters worse, the weather was not good. And it took me about 6 weeks to get my 12 hours in, and I'd forgotten, you know, what I'd been. So I knew at the end, and I didn't solo, and some fellows solo.
What were your problems with flying?
It's like, well, for one thing, I didn't report it. I didn't hear the instructor very well. And I should have said, say again, or I don't hear you. But I think I had too much wax in my ears. But I wouldn't, I didn't want to be dropped out then at that stage. You realise a lot, and you learn a lot with foresight. But
did you have any natural? You didn't have natural skill as a pilot, then, from what you're saying.
Oh no.
Were you heavy-handed?
My wife said I'm heavy-handed.
I
don't think so. And I certainly wasn't scared. I could have bailed out from that, nothing like that at all. And all the manoeuvres that he did, I mean, he would pass out, momentarily black out during some of the manoeuvres. I never did. I wasn't surprised when, at the end of it, we were shipped to Manchester here, to Heaton Park.
Now, what was that? That was a holding base, wasn't it?
Holding base for Canada or Africa, South Africa. And
now, when was that? That would be round about October.
Yes, I suppose it would be. Yeah, yes, that was around October.
Because you start the next thing in December.
So,
what were you doing at Heaton Park? Just waiting.
Just waiting. Yes.
Were you disappointed?
I was billeted on a Jewish family. Yes. First contact with Jews. And
did you find that? I mean, did you mind that? Because there was more prejudice then, wasn't there?
I liked them, the Levies. Very much. Some of there weren't many of us that went out that weren't billeted out. A lot were billeted in the park. And it was there where they told you your grading. And it was no surprise to me when I was going to be a bum aimer.
So how did you feel about being rejected? I mean, you no surprise, right. But were you disappointed?
Yes, quite disappointed. Because I thought, well, if I can be a pilot and if I can survive this, I can be flying after the war. You knew the flying was going to be all the thing in peacetime.
So you were disappointed?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now, what did you think about being a bomb aimer? I mean, as opposed to a navigator, is the other thing, isn't it?
That's yes. Well, I had to do some navigation as well on the bomb aimer's course.
What did you think? I mean.
I thought, well, at the time, so I'm going to be a bomb aimer. Well, I'll have to make the best of it and see what I can do. This is what I've got to do, and I will do it.
So where were you sent to? I mean, were you at? Were you there long?
No, not many weeks. It might have been 6 weeks. Again, I don't know. All this I can confirm to you.
We'll sort this out. It looks like it goes to December.
December.
Is it from there you go out to
Canada?
To Canada, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now, it.
Well, that you go out. It must have
been November when I went when I went to Canada.
Because your first flight is on the back end of December. In Canada.
December 43.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it took a fair while getting out there, did it? Right, okay. Now, what about the journey out to Canada?
Oh, that was from Liverpool on the Mauritania.
The big old liner?
Yes. When we went onto it at night time, American troops were coming off, and they were still coming off when we got up the next morning. Which was quite a load on them. But there weren't many aircrew went across, and some ground staff went across. There were some females went across. I think there must have been wives of officers that were over there. I don't know, because we didn't make them at all. So it's my first experience of sleeping in a hammock, and boy, that's great.
Tell me why?
Because it was a liner being used as a troop ship, and they couldn't for the number of troops they were carrying, they couldn't possibly bed them all.
But why was it good? What did you like about it?
Well,
a lot of people have trouble with them in the start.
At that age you can sleep anywhere. You can sleep on a clothesline, sort of thing. Oh, I rather like them. I would get in and lie down and be asleep straight away. Unlike things the way things are now.
What about the mess decks? What were they like?
The food was good on boat, very good on boat, because we had white bread for the first time in years.
But what about the mess deck? How crowded were they? Can't remember.
They weren't too crowded at all, because I say it wasn't like the American coming over to us. There were far less going back to bring more Yanks over. And
so what happened? What do you remember about the voyage?
The voyage. It seemed rather long, and thought we'd never get there. It took about 6 days. And we must have gone very far south, because it got really warm and the stars stood out, you know. We must have been.
Did you go in convoy? Or were you on
no.
some of those lines?
No, we weren't. We weren't in convoy. No, we weren't.
Were you nervous of U-boats?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the world was so vast. If I'd been in the Navy, if I'd been on the water all the time, possibly yes, I might have been more. There was you were there. You were just hoping that you didn't get struck or anything like that, because. Even if you could swim, it wasn't going to do you much good out
but you
in the
didn't
middle,
have that fear then?
Not really, no, no.
Now where were you going to? Canada? Where did you land? St. John's or the other one?
Yes, I think it was St. John's. Yes, St. John's, New Brunswick. Is that, yes, I
don't know whether
I think so. Yes, St. John's, I'm sure.